And your moderator tonight is Joshua Cosman.
Thank you very much, Debbie, and welcome everybody to another edition of Minds Over Matter, everybody's favorite audience participation quiz show. Please don't touch that dial just because you don't hear Dana Rodriguez's usual dulcet tones coming out of your radio as you usually do this time every week. Dana is off in Sweden enjoying himself gallivanting around the Scandinavian world. And I'm here in the studio with Bay Area author Jerry Nachman and English professor Lori Fisher. We're going to spend an hour with you trading questions and answers on a large variety of topics, including movies, literature, geography, music, all kinds of other things that we all find interesting and rewarding. So I hope you'll join us to do that, because we can't do it without you. This is, after all, an audience participation quiz show. The way to do that is call in at 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-34, or toll free at 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. Either of those numbers will get you into the studio with us. You can also find us online at KALW.org, KALW.org. Send emails to Dana at mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. He won't read them during the show because he's in Sweden.
Will he read them in Sweden?
He will read them in Sweden if you get Google Translate to translate them into Swedish for you and send them to him there.
Excellent.
But for now, we're going to start with a round of introductions and a round of questions. Here's the first. Jerry Nachman was glad to read that many major universities are dumping Shakespeare courses from their English major requirements. Now, if they could just get rid of classes in English literature that are also cluttering up the curriculum.
Excellent idea.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Josh. Lori Fisher noticed that both Earth Day and YouTube celebrated significant birthdays this week. One is 45, one is 10. With pleasure, he notes that as many people celebrate the Earth on that single day as the number who watch YouTube in a month. Many of those even listen to Minds Over Matter.
They sure do. And our guest moderator, Joshua Cosman, has some pretty big shoes to fill tonight, which is why he brought along three extra pairs of socks.
That's very true. That's us. And let's start the questioning with Jerry. What do you got for us?
Okay. Well, according to a poll of 11,000 people in 24 countries, what are the five most attractive accents in the world?
The five most attractive accents.
Should we know the countries? Because I would think that would matter. You know, like,
well, yeah,
the European countries and North American, or are they Asian, or you don't know?
They're kind of, I'm not going to tell you that.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say French.
French is fifth, actually.
Just fifth, huh?
Oddly, I think they put it first. But,
okay. We'll get another guess, or just one each?
Well, I think one each. Right.
How about Brazil?
No.
Okay.
Not on the list.
Yeah.
Well, that would be Portuguese accent, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, it would be.
I would think that would.
Even I know that.
Yeah. Well, they speak Portuguese. I don't know that it's the same accent.
Yeah, they have a dialect, yeah.
Oh.
Many countries speak English with different accents. It could be.
I don't know anything about that. Even in America, they do.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll leave that to the listeners. Why don't you give it to us one more time?
Okay. There's a second part.
Oh, there's a second
part. I'll read the first part.
Part two.
According to a poll of 11,000 people in 24 countries, what are the five most attractive accents in the world? Josh got French, which is number five.
Lori got French. Oh, and I didn't give him a bell.
Not to make a big deal about it.
The second part is, what country do Americans like best, and which country do they like least?
Is this accent-wise or just people-wise?
You're going to open up a can of worms here. I'm sneaking in a second question.
I think we like everybody equally. How's that for an answer, a diplomatic answer? Not true, huh?
No.
So which citizens of other countries do Americans like the most and the least?
Well, the whole country and the citizenry.
Oh, man. I'm not going to guess.
I'm afraid to even touch that.
I'm not going to guess the least. I'll leave that to our audience. I would say the most, we like British people the most.
No. All right. No. You're not going to.
No. What do they? What do we like? We like Australians.
No. We do, but that's not.
I don't know.
I'll go with Brazil again.
No.
They're going to fit it. Some answer is going to be Brazil tonight.
No, not yet.
All right.
Okay.
Well, if you know the answer to those questions that Jerry just gave us, give us a call. The number here to join us at Minds Over Matter is 415-841-4134, 415-841-4134, or toll-free at 866-798-8255. This is a good time to call in. The lines are wide open, and while we talk about that, let's go to Lori for a question.
All right. Well, many of you might have seen that there's a movement going on to replace Andrew Jackson, get him off the $20 bill, and get a woman on the 20s. And there's all right. kinds of women being nominated. And some people said, well, there's been no women president, which is not yet true, unfortunately. But there are three pieces of currency in which there is not an American president. What are they?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The three pieces of currency would have people on it that aren't American.
Well,
presidents.
Yeah, currency. Alexander Hamilton.
I was going to say Alexander Hamilton.
He's not on the 20.
He's on the 10.
He's on the 10. I'm sorry.
On the 10. Yep, that's one of them.
I never had.
That's
any.
The easy one. Okay. Yeah. The other ones, you guys aren't carrying.
Salmon P. Chase is on the 50,000. Is that
a little less?
All right, 10,000.
Samuel P. Chase.
Salmon.
Is on the
salmon.
Salmon. That's right.
Salmon P.
That's
Chase.
Right. Named after the fish?
Yes.
After the locks?
Yes.
Yes, he's on the $10,000 bill. One
and
more.
The third one is Sacagawea, who's on the dollar coin.
Oh, but I don't. I'm
you're
only counting currency.
You're not tell me she was president.
He said bills.
I'm going to say it's currency, meaning bills.
Oh, bills only?
Yes.
Oh, you didn't. Okay.
There was a Susan B. Anthony one. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
Are they still in circulation? I guess if you have them, you can spend
if
them.
If you have them, you can.
If you got them, spend them. So we're looking for one more. Hamilton's on the 10. Chase, Salmon P. Chase is on the 10,000. Very nice on that one. There's one more.
Is Henry Clay one?
No.
Okay. Ooh, well, he was president. What am I talking about?
No, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't president.
He wasn't.
And he's not on
almost.
Any currency.
Okay.
Double, but two wrongs make a right, so we'll give you a bell for that.
So,
all right.
One more out there.
So that's one more out there. If you know the answer to those or something else that's been raised here tonight, give us a call. Let's take a first call and... Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello?
No.
Speak up. No?
Hello?
Not me?
That's you.
Good God. I thought I was the fifth call.
Well.
Okay. This is Roger in San Francisco.
Hi, Roger.
With my quest to elevate the tone of your excellent program.
Excellent.
That doesn't take much.
I have the first lines of five very famous plays. Can you identify them?
All right.
Number one, I'm chilled to the bone. What can Freddy be doing all this time? Number two, who's there? Number three, nothing to be done.
These
number
are good.
Four, did you hear what I was playing, Lane? Number five, why do you always wear black? All of these plays have been produced in the Bay Area within the last two or three years.
All right.
I think should be done is...
I'm chilled to the bone. What can Freddie be doing all this time?
Nothing should be done is the Beckett play, the title of Saves
Me. Waiting for Godot.
Waiting
correct.
For Godot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Is Who's There, Hamlet?
You're right.
Yeah. Oh, well done. And I'll take one, which is, did you hear what I was playing, Lane, is the first line of The Importance of Being Earnest.
Excellent.
Lane says, I did not think it polite to listen, sir.
Exactly right.
Leaves us with two for our listeners. Tell us what the two remaining ones are again.
The bone. What can Freddie be doing all this time? And why do you always wear black?
Good.
Oh, why do you always wear black is Chekhov, I think, Three Sisters.
Not Three Sisters.
Okay.
Seagull. Seagull.
Oh, that's right.
There you go.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
So we just have the one left.
I'm chilled
Good
to the
question,
bone.
Man.
What could Freddie be doing in there?
All this time.
Well, I think Natasha makes a big point of wearing black in Three Sisters, but that's good. Seagull.
Oh, it's
all right.
It's my
well, you've stumped us. Why don't you leave the answer? No, do you?
I can leave the answer.
All right.
Okay.
All right. All right. Very good. Thanks.
Okay.
And let's take another call. Hello?
Hello, is that me?
You're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, I was going to say that Irish accents are very popular. Oh. Is that the question? I'm all turned around on this.
Is that right, Jerry?
Irish is number three. Very
right.
Good. Irish is number three.
I got a bell. I've never got a bell.
We all have goals to live for.
Can we say the Soviet Union? I mean, what are you asking this? Who the a poll on who we hate?
Yes. Well, like least.
Yeah. Oh, not hate. Like least.
Like most and like least. What is your guess?
Oh! Nations we love the most, Canada.
Canada is it?
Oh,
but
number
they're
one.
North American. They're Americans, you know.
That's right. They're Americans.
Well,
in,
that's true.
In,
yeah.
That's like Mexicans.
Yeah.
We're all Americans.
Exactly.
All right,
okay.
I don't care. All the way to Falklands, all the way to Nome, we're all Americans.
Good point.
Right.
Good point.
Good attitude.
Exactly.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, so we got Canada as a country American.
So we need three more accents and who we like least.
Yeah.
All right. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Minds Over Matter here on KALW 91.7 FM, San Francisco's local public radio station. I'm your moderator, Joshua Cosman, sitting in for Dana Rodriguez, who's gallivanting around Sweden this week. With me in the studio are Bay Area author Jerry Nachman, my former Chronicle colleague, and English professor Lori Fisher. And we're trading questions and answers with each other and with you. I've got one here. I have here in my hand a list. I always want to say it that way. Of the eight Oscar-winning pictures, which is to say the Best Picture Oscar, the movies that won the Best Picture Oscars, whose titles include the name of a real historical non-fictional person in the title.
Of a real historical
Not Driving Miss Daisy, not
okay.
Rocky.
Okay, okay, okay.
And I'm looking for the movies that have them actually by name, so I'm not including The King's Speech, even though the king in that title.
How about Lawrence of Arabia?
Lawrence of Arabia is one.
This is good. Let me think for a minute. Mm-hmm. Real historical people. Got the famous silence. How about Ben-Hur?
Patton won.
Is Ben-Hur
real?
Ben-Hur
is not real. Ben-Hur is fictional.
I should have known that.
Yeah.
Two, I'll quit while I'm ahead.
All right, I was going to say, if you each take two and we can leave four for the listeners.
Okay, well, let me... I don't have
but
any...
But you're not pulling your weight, Laurie.
Not yet.
All right.
Yeah. Well, coming up with Ben-Hur didn't
think
help
about
at
it?
All. Yeah.
I'll toss another question into the mix while we talk. This is one that we couldn't do while Jerry was... While Dana was here because he would just swat it away. before George H.W. Bush, who was the last sitting vice president to be elected president?
Nixon.
No, Nixon was Eisenhower's vice president, but he wasn't the sitting vice president when he was elected. I'm talking about someone who was elected right out of the vice presidency.
So going back two would be Truman?
No.
Truman was already president when he was first elected.
Oh, God. You're right.
You have to go back a little further than that. Yeah.
Jerry, help out here. I'm still working on the on the movie question.
Well, that gave you a lot to think about. So just to recap, I'm looking for Best Picture winners, Oscar winners with the titles that include the name of an actual historical or nonfictional human being. And I'm wondering, before George H.W. Bush, who was elected president as Reagan's vice president, who was the last previous president to be elected as a sitting vice president? If you know the answer to those or any of the other questions that are floating around in here, give us a call, 415-841-4134, or toll-free, 866-798-8255. Let's take a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is it me?
It is you.
Okay, great. Let's go with, I have a question for you.
All right, we're ready.
Okay, let's go with early 16th century colonial myth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
For 200, Jerry.
And question is, in the 1510 Spanish epic that introduced the word California, what did the Amazons, who supposedly lived there due to the men they captured?
Yeah, well.
Sure.
Is this permitted on a family show?
So this sounds like, is this Rabelais, part Gargantuan Pantagruel? Is that the name of the, is that the book?
Or
am I just making this up?
Sounds like you're making it up to me. But I'm very impressed.
I don't know. Amazons are likely to, in the 16th century male imagination, I think, are likely to castrate vanquished aggressors. Am I right?
You're warm.
I don't want to get any warmer.
We'll be off the air.
I wouldn't get too much warmer either.
We're in the right general vicinity. They lopped some body part off. I just got the wrong one, huh?
Yeah, kind of, sort of. We're in the right general body vicinity?
Probably.
Huh. So is it just a matter of figuring out which is the body part that gets lopped off? Is that what we're missing
Not
here?
Not necessarily. Something happens to them, obviously, but it had to do with their body completely.
They get tattooed? I don't know.
This is in 1510.
In 1510.
Did it hurt?
Yes, according to the myth. I mean, I certainly wouldn't want to go out that way.
I see. This was a fatal process, is what you're saying.
Exactly. Oh. There you go.
So burned at the stake.
No, that's
easy.
Tossed off a cliff. No?
No.
Oh, you hesitated.
Talk to death.
I think you stumped us.
Okay. Here we go.
All right.
Brace yourself.
I'm ready.
After mating with them, they fed them to their pet griffins.
Oh, of course.
Griffins, of course. Griffins.
Yeah.
All right.
To their griffins?
To their pet griffins.
Good to know. Thank you.
The beast.
What is that? Oh, there. Yeah.
It's a half of this and some of that.
Oh, God.
Thanks.
Kind of like a centaur, you know.
I see. Yeah. Oh, I know.
It was not a pretty
thing. No, that's not a way to go.
Yeah.
And let's take another call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, guys. This is Hayes in San Francisco.
Hello, Hayes. How are you doing?
Good. Human being, would it be Jesus Christ that had the TV, or not the TV, the film thing about him?
No, my question was about movies that have won the Oscar for Best Picture, and none of those, there have been many, many movies about Jesus, many of them with him in the title, but none of them yet have won the Oscar for Best Picture.
I was going to say, oh, God. I'm not sure
that, that certainly did not win any awards. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
And then the other another answer for the best accent, possibly mine.
British.
British. Yours is British, right, or Australian?
Yeah.
Are you British?
Yeah, I'm British, but I've been here for so long that I sound.
Well, no, you stay. And you're right, it is British. Number one.
Number one's British?
All right.
Nice going.
Yeah. Well done.
Thank you very much for your accent.
And well demonstrated.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
No, it's still pretty pronounced. Yeah.
So the most disliked nation, how about Dodger Nation? I thought I'd give an anti-Dodger.
Very good.
That's the only thing I could say.
No, that's not it.
All right.
Okay, so we got British and Irish.
And on the movies, was the Private Lives of Henry VIII?
No. Charles Laughton, I think, won an Oscar for being in the picture. Didn't win. Yeah.
All right,
Jerry, what do you got for us?
I got plenty of nothing. What was the first Las Vegas hotel, which was built in 1941, on what later became known as the Strip? What was the name of that hotel?
Wasn't it the Flamingo?
No, that came later.
Huh.
That was the first mob hotel.
There were hotels before the mob?
Yeah.
I thought Bugsy Siegel invented the idea of that.
Well, that's the myth. I don't know.
He invented the mob part.
Oh, right.
Anyway, this is not as well known.
Is this the one with the horseshoe? Binion's?
The one where the World Series of Poker used to be? Right. I don't think I've ever seen the logo.
Debbie suggests Golden Nugget.
No?
No? All right.
Sounds like a good guess.
All right, so it's in 1941 is what you're telling me.
I thought that Vegas was in the 50s, but I guess it was the early 40s.
Well, yeah, that's old.
That's interesting.
Do you know if it's still around?
No, it is not.
All right.
But I vaguely remember the name.
Okay, the one I'm thinking of is still around, so that's not it.
Yeah, no.
All right.
All right, well, let's see who can call in first and answer that question for us. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
I think the another attractive accent is Italian.
I do too. Italian?
Italian accent, Jerry?
Beautiful.
Italian is not on the list.
Yeah.
Well, that's because Americans don't know.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
good
two
guess.
Of the three so
that's
far
accent,
speak English.
Yeah, right.
A big surprise. this is worldwide, yeah.
And the hotel is Flamingo?
No, that's what Josh said, but no, Flamingo.
I thought so, too.
No, Flamingo was very well known. That was Bugsy Siegel. So
yeah, that's why I was thinking
but
of
no,
it.
But no, it was not Flamingo, no.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, I can hear that click.
Good.
Anyway, the Benji, the $50 bill, that's the third bill.
It is. Benjamin Franklin's on. The, he's
yeah.
on.
But how come everybody forgets Benjamin Franklin wasn't president?
But he's not on the 50, he's on the 100.
100.
Yeah, Ulysses S. Grant hangs out in the 50.
Grant's on the 50.
Yeah,
Grant's on the
very
50.
Nice.
I should remember. That was a grocery clerk for 27
wow,
years.
Wow, you should know, yeah.
Okay, and speaking of presidents, oh, wait a minute. Well, I'll try a few more questions. The president you're thinking of came right from vice president, got elected, was in the 20s. Was it Harding or Warren Harding or the other one before him or after him?
No, it was neither of those.
It was the 20s or the 10s?
It was earlier than that.
It was earlier than that.
I mean, Theodore Roosevelt succeeded to the presidency when McKinley was assassinated, but then when he was elected, he was already in office.
Yeah. So it wasn't the 20s.
It was before that.
And it was before Theodore Roosevelt, too.
Yep.
Wow. That's back in the 1880s. 1880s, 1890s. Out Cleveland?
Not Cleveland, no.
No, I'm guessing.
All right.
Speaking of presidents, I got a question for you.
Bring it.
What man, what president, and who is the man? One man was the father of one president and the son of another.
Of the United States?
Do you know who the presidents were and what was the man's name for that matter?
Well,
I'll give you a hint. It was back in the 1800s.
Yeah, the presidents are the Harrisons, are the grandfather, and right? I mean, William Henry and Benjamin are grandfather and grandson.
Very good.
Yeah.
So,
what was the man's name?
Yeah,
I don't think I knew that. Oh.
Harrison Ford. Harrison.
George Harrison.
No, we don't know. Who's the... What was
John... John Harrison.
John Harrison. That would have been the percentage guess, wouldn't it?
Who is John Harrison?
So he's Benjamin.
John Harrison. He's the father of one president and the son of another.
Oh.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? How many times have we had that?
Just the ones.
We're having plenty of dynasties and families.
That's
the Bushes.
True.
There'll be lots of trivia questions about them.
Exactly.
I'm sure.
So. Yeah. All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right. Lori, why don't you give us a question?
All right. Well, trying to do something timely here. And as I said in my introduction, it's YouTube's 10th birthday. So I have a couple of YouTube questions. What's the most watched video on YouTube in history by far? That's question number one. This question two is, how much stuff is uploaded to YouTube every hour? Meaning in...
Oh, that's in the zillions. You know.
It's in the zillions. It's close to being in the zillions.
Quadzillion. The first part...
And then one more. And then there's in the top 10 all-time views, there's one performer who's on there just twice. Who's
Ooh.
That performer?
Michael
Pretty
Jackson.
No. But not a bad guess.
Is the first one the most watched? Is that a performer or an event?
It's a performer.
That's okay. The first one is Gangnam Style by Psy, right?
It is.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
What is that?
Gangnam Style? Josh is doing it right now. It looks great.
What is that?
Yeah. It's a dance.
You have to ask, you'll never understand.
And it's pretty spectacularly popular all over the world.
So
the children, most watched?
2.3 billion people have watched this. So that's
very
like half
sad.
The population
sad
of Earth.
No, it's
innocent
it's pretty,
and fun.
It's pretty
it?
Cool.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
You got to see it.
I'll have to watch
it. You got to watch it once.
All right, very good, Josh.
Do your part.
Where did it originate?
He's Korean.
South Korean?
South Korean. Oh.
And his name is Psy, P-S-Y. And it's
okay,
fun.
I'll go home and watch
Debbie's
it.
Doing it.
I'll get hit.
There she is. And so we're looking for how much is uploaded every hour, and it would be in time, like minutes, years, that kind of thing, and who has two of the most popular, most watched videos in the top 10.
Wow.
Justin Bieber.
Another good guess. He's in the top 10.
He's in the top 10, but only once.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, I mean, are these sort of professional entertainers with, this is the official video of their song.
It's exactly
Charlie Bit Me or something.
It could be, and it's not a cat flushing a toilet,
which
is probably in there.
Yeah, right.
Popular, but not that.
Kitten on the Keys.
Yeah, very popular, but there's not this. It's a different kitten is in the top 10.
All right. Well, let's take a call and see who knows the answer to these questions. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. This is Mark in Sausalito.
Hi, Mark.
There's still a remaining opening line to a play, correct?
Yes.
Still
to the bone. I'm pretty sure that refers to Freddie Eynsford Hill in Pygmalion.
Oh, good guess. Yes. And Debbie is nodding vigorously, so let's give you a bell for that.
Very all right. Good.
Well done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good.
Kind of an innocuous
opening. That's a good question. Yeah.
So, but did he, I was thinking about Freddie Eynsford Hill. Did he say My Fair Lady or did he say Pygmalion? Because it would be Pygmalion, surely.
It's Pygmalion.
All right, very good.
Yeah.
All right, next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Andrew in Oakland.
Hi, Andrew.
I thought I'd try to knock off some of these Oscar films that have names in the title.
Good.
Real life names in the title. There's Patton.
Yes.
There's Gandhi.
Mm-hmm.
There's Braveheart, that's sort of a nickname. But...
Oh, good. You're absolutely right, and I didn't include that on the list, which was my own fault.
So that's the ninth one.
That's the ninth one. Very good.
Let's see. There's Schindler's List.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's only a middle name, but there's Amadeus.
Exactly.
Oh, nice.
There's nothing wrong with middle names.
Way, way back, I don't know the full title, but there was an Oscar-winning movie about Emile Zola. Right?
Yes, it's called The Life of Emile Zola.
Okay, that's all I know.
Well done. Let's give
Are there any left?
A series of bells. Yes, there are two left.
Is Melvin and Howard one of them?
No.
That didn't win, Beth.
No.
That was a long shot.
What's his name? Robards won for...
Yeah.
But it didn't win for Best Picture.
Darn.
All right. So, yeah, there's two left. One from the, I want to say the 30s, and one from the 90s.
30s.
Oh. So in the Emile Zola genre.
Exactly. Yeah,
the Dreyfus Affair didn't win. Something like that.
Yeah. If it's early 40s, you'll forgive me. I didn't write the years down. I'm guessing about that.
Yeah, that's a good question.
All right, let me see. What do I got here? All right, I'm going to give you some famous battles from world history.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, no, this is, you know, this is important.
You have to tell who won?
You have to tell me, if you can, who were the two sides and who emerged victorious. I've got six of them.
All right.
Give me what you can. Thermopylae in 480 BC. Cannae in 216 BCE.
How do you spell that?
C-A-N-N-A-E. Lepanto in 1571.
Goodbye.
Battle of Culloden Moor, 1746. Battle of Austerlitz in 1805. And I see that I didn't have these in chronological order because now we got the Battle of Agincourt in 1415. I thought I had chronologicalized these, but I failed. So just to run through them again, we got Thermopylae, 480 BC. Cannae, 216 BCE. Agincourt, 1415. Lepanto in 1571, Culloden Moor in 1746, and Austerlitz in 1805.
Where's Rodriguez when we need him? Off gallivanting, you know.
Should I save this for another time?
This would be a good call-in.
Agincourt? What was the one after?
Agincourt.
Agincourt.
Yeah.
Agincourt. And what was after that?
Lepanto, L-E-P-A-N-T-O.
And these are
significant.
Yeah.
I've battles.
What was after Lepanto?
Culloden Moor or Culloden Moor.
Okay.
And Austerlitz.
These are borderline good questions, not trivia. It's my only objection. I say Agincourt is the French and the British.
Yeah, and who wins?
Agincourt was won by the French. Or the British.
Oh, so close. You half a bell. Yeah, come
so
on.
So I got the right...
It's Henry V.
Yeah. It is Henry V. That's right. That's when he wins.
All right. Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
All right.
So Agincourt, you're right, it's the English and the French in 1415, and they pummel them with arrows and win.
And, Jerry, you weren't there at that one, right?
I remember
reading the paper.
Very well,
all right. Jerry, you want to take a stab at any of these?
Not even a stab.
All right. If you know the answer to any of those questions or any of the other ones we've got floating around here in the studio, give us a call right about now, 415-841-4134, or toll-free at 866-798-8255. You're listening to Minds Over Matter here on KALW 91.7 San Francisco, your local public radio station. I'm Joshua Cosman, sitting in for Dana Rodriguez, who's off gallivanting through Sweden. With me in the studio, Jerry Nachman and Laurie Fisher. And let's take a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Billy from Bernal.
Hi, Billy.
The accent.
Ah.
Swedish?
No.
Jamaican?
No.
Oh, okay. Least liked countries?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
North Korea.
Yes.
That's it.
Thank you.
Very good.
It's just the one, right? You wanted the top.
Yeah,
that's the most widely reviled country in the world.
No,
huh?
By Americans.
Oh, by Americans.
By Americans.
By Americans. Canada's least, most. North Korea least.
Okay.
Yeah, and that is it just that one?
Yeah.
Was there a list of five or something?
Oh, list of five most attractive accents.
Oh, okay.
We have British number one and Irish number three and French number five. We're looking at two and four.
Okay. The hotel in Las Vegas?
Yeah.
The Sands?
No, it is not.
Okay.
That was early, but not early as this.
One more wild guess at a name on a film.
Mm-hmm.
Gene Krupa story?
Oh, good guess, but no.
With Sal Mineo.
Thermopylae was versus Sparta versus Persia.
Exactly, and who wins?
The Persians.
They do indeed.
Oh, those turncoats.
Well, it was just... It was just a delaying action.
Persians versus
the Spartans.
Okay. Austerlitz.
Mm-hmm.
Prussia versus France. Napoleon.
I've got Russia, not Prussia.
Oh, okay. Is it Russia versus Napoleon?
Exactly.
And Napoleon won.
Yes, he did. Handily, decisively.
I didn't hear a bell.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I'm sorry. There's two.
Know, I live for this.
Yes, I apologize.
He's new at this still.
Locke.
What's the question?
The battle.
Yeah. No, the battles were Cannae, Lepanto, and Culloden Moor.
Culloden Moor. Is that England versus Scotland?
Yeah. I mean, sort of Scotland. It's the the Jacobites trying to restore the Stuart
Right, and England won.
Yes.
Well, obviously, yeah.
Because that's how they do.
Yes.
There's another bell. Thank you.
And Cannae.
Yeah.
Is that Sparta versus Athens?
No.
Okay.
You pushed your luck.
I did. Thanks
He's
so
good.
Much. Love the show.
He's very good.
History major.
Yeah. Thanks for calling in.
Who won in the Austerlitz?
The French. Napoleon. This was a big tactical victory for Napoleon.
Okay. So I have a question about the movies and named mm-hmm. after famous people.
Yeah.
Are the two missing ones named after women, perchance, or either of them?
No. Isn't that interesting?
So
none of them. No, they're all men.
Okay, so Kitty Foyle and Sister Kenny
right,
never
exactly.
won.
No, no, and Aaron Brockovich didn't win either. All right,
all men. Wow, that says something.
That's saying something. Yeah. All right, let's take another call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello.
Hi, this is Big Radul in the Carnero.
Hi there.
Stephen King's book, Rita Hayworth, The Shawshank Redemption.
Mm-hmm.
So Andy Dufresne has a poster on the wall. Obviously, Rita Hayworth is the first one. And who are the five subsequent posters?
Wow.
Wait, say it again?
Well, he starts out with Rita Hayworth as the poster on his wall. And then it's replaced five times by different women.
In The Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, boy, I got to say, I have never read that book or seen that movie, believe it or not, so I'm going to have to yield to my more learned colleagues on this one.
I've seen the movie, but I don't remember.
Is it in the movie and the book both?
Only part of it, I think, is in the movie.
This is a good one. I don't know,
right.
But that's a great question.
We
have our experts
I have
out there.
I have a pinup of my own in the other room whispering in my ear that Marilyn Monroe is...
That's correct.
She's
the first replacement.
Okay, Marilyn Monroe is the first.
Are they? Are the women in chronological order too? Kind of their popularity.
Yeah, I believe that's the way it's set up.
How about Sophia Loren? Does she come in there?
No.
Yeah, she should.
Does it get as far as Farrah Fawcett?
Ooh.
No.
I'm just thinking of famous pinup.
Yeah.
Pin
no, you're,
how about
you're,
Bridget Bardot?
No. Kind of similar to Marilyn Monroe.
I was
Jane Mansfield.
Jane Mansfield.
Got it.
Oh, wow.
Now,
he replaced Marilyn Monroe with Jane Mansfield. That was not a good move.
I think it fell apart or something.
Yeah. So two more.
So the third one, in the book it says maybe. So it's not for sure, but the third one's a maybe. And I'll give it to you because I've never heard of her. It's Hazel Court.
Hazel Court?
Hazel yeah. Court?
Yeah, she's apparently a British actress.
That sounds like
don't
a
know
street.
Hazel, yeah. You still live on Hazel Court.
Dana Lauer. Debbie says that Raquel Welch is the last one.
Well, Raquel Welch was the next one, but there's one that's after Raquel Welch.
After Raquel Welch.
Ooh,
this is
we need a hint.
Exhausting my knowledge of pinupology.
Stone Ponies.
Linda Ronstadt. Really?
Got it.
Yeah. I never think of her as a pinup.
No.
A pinup.
I think she had her pinup moments.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll have to go to my pinupology collection.
I guess so.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Okay. Bye.
So we're a little bit halfway, past the halfway point. Let's review what questions we have still out. Jerry, what have you got?
What was the first Las Vegas hotel built in 1941 on what later became known as the Strip? We've had some guesses that are wrong. Flamingo. What was
Sands.
It?
Sands
are not right.
Horseshoe and Golden Nugget have all been guessed.
Golden Nugget, no. The other one is, according to a poll of 11,000 people in 24 countries, what are the five most attractive accents in the world? We have correctly guessed, the listeners have guessed British, number one, Irish, number three, French, number five. And that's all I have, I believe.
I have my YouTube questions, which are every hour, how many hours of tapes or of videos uploaded to YouTube? We haven't even had any guesses yet. And of the top 10 all-time watch videos, two of them are by the same performer. And they are regularly released on songs. Who is that performer? Jerry guessed Michael Jackson, a great guess, but not in. Justin Bieber's a good guess. He's in the top 10. It's somebody contemporary who's still performing.
Of an older vintage? Which
no, I would say he or she is of a younger vintage.
Okay, Lady Gaga?
It's a great guess. Not Lady Gaga. This is more popular than Ms. Gaga.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hard to
believe.
Bennett.
Not more popular.
Taylor Swift.
Great guess.
Katy Perry.
That's it.
That was Debbie.
Debbie again?
Debbie's whispering the correct answers
Debbie
in my ear.
Debbie is knocking them out. It's Dark Horse and Roar are the two that are in the top. One is
All
second
right.
and one is seventh. Okay. How many hours are uploaded every hour? That's the next question.
I had my list of Oscar-winning movies with people's names in the title. We got seven of the nine: Amadeus, Gandhi, Lawrence of Arabia, Life of Emile Zola, Patton, Schindler's List, and Braveheart. A caller in added. We got two more: one from the 30s, one from the 90s. Looking for the last president before George Bush, who was elected before Judge H.W. Bush, who was elected as a sitting vice president. It's well into the 19th century, and famous battles in world military history. Still looking for the details or the two opposing forces in the Battle of Cannae in 216 BCE and the Battle of Lepanto in 1571. If you know the answer to those questions or anything else that we've got floating around, or you have some questions of your own, this would be a good time to call in and let us know. Let's take the next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
The accents. Did either Spanish or South African make it?
No, they did not.
I love that South African
thing. Yeah.
Okay, so for the Oscar-winning movies, I'm not going to say All About Eve.
Good.
Eve is a real person, of course.
Right.
She just wasn't in the movie.
So when you said 30s, I found great Ziegfeld. The first time I went through in my mind, I only found Zola. And then I went back in my brain, and there, I found it.
Right? Your brain is very reliable.
Nice.
Well done, Thomas.
Good
great
work.
Ziegfeld.
And Shakespeare in Love, is that
the That is correct. That's the last one. Well done.
Excellent. Great question.
And that exhausts
all the
that.
Bells.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks, Thomas. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ed. How are you?
Hi, Ed. How are you doing?
So, very good. So the favorable nation, Canada, correct?
Yes.
Correct.
How about Great Britain?
He only had the top one.
Just the top one.
The top one. Okay.
Yeah.
So Canada. How about the least favorable?
Yeah, someone got that. What do you have?
I have a China or Russia.
No.
No?
No.
Okay. All right. All right, if we're talking about that, you brought this topic. According to NHOLT, that's NHOLT, Global Institute, an American company, which country is hated the most worldwide?
Hated?
Yes.
Well, let's go with North Korea again.
No.
I have a suspicion the answer is going to be the USA.
No.
Ooh.
Leave it to the audience. It's an interesting question.
All right.
Okay. So the second question, according to some science magazine last week, how many out of four Americans still believe that the sun go around Earth.
Oh, my God.
Out of four? Yeah.
One out of four, which is disgraceful. Disgraceful.
One out of four. Yeah.
26%.
26%. Amazing.
Yeah, that's really unbelievable. Really unbelievable. Okay, last question. And let it go. Last week, one person died and 20 got real sick from going to a picnic in a church with a potluck lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what poisoned them?
Botulism.
I thought it was...
Potluck lunch, yeah.
Is that right?
It was botulism, wasn't it?
It was botulism. You're right. How do you get botulism?
Go to the potluck.
Yeah.
Go to the wrong potluck.
No, it's from
spoilage in canned foods, isn't it?
What kind of spoilage? You're right, but that's actually a very good warning to people who do canning.
You know, when the cans bubble up, that's when you can't eat them.
Not necessarily.
Well, not necessarily.
No.
Okay, how do you know?
No. When the food is contaminated by soil, any bacteria that produce that, and then it's sealed. Actually, the bacteria itself, we have it in our body, we have it in our soil, right everywhere. It's harmless. But if it is sealed, in absence of oxygen, it produces the most toxic poison known to human. It's the most toxic thing.
Yeah.
So this people died, and you know, the poor woman died. Actually, there's a few people in emergency. So please do not bottle your food.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah. Thanks for the warning, Ed.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
I'll be more careful opening canned food.
Yeah. Instead of poisoning us, why don't you give us a question?
Great transition. What a segue.
Okay, yeah.
See if you can not poison us with this question.
You're getting good at this. Okay. Odds Bodkins is a famous Elizabethan oath heard in a lot of Shakespeare plays. What does it mean?
Ooh.
It means God's bodies.
Very good.
God's body, rather.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Very
nice
good.
Nice work.
Thank you.
Very good.
Oh, I'll give myself
an acceptable version of God's body.
God's body, because God's wounds become zounds.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Very nice.
Like zounds?
It's pronounced zounds because it's a shortening or a euphemism for God's wounds.
Wow.
We aim to educate.
I think anyone would get that right out
of the box. We got a lot of highfalutin stuff on the show. We got panel questions. We got Shakespeare.
I'll sneak in another quick
one. Give us another one.
Okay. This is really for Lori.
I'll sit
Sports
quiet.
Question.
Josh, you can get in on this. Is it sports?
Josh knows.
I don't know sports. Man. I know a little bit. I know a little baseball.
Dana says this every time.
Yeah.
And he gets,
well, Dana.
Yeah.
I ain't Dana.
Yeah.
Who is the only winner of the Heisman Trophy 2 years in a row?
Ooh. Is it back in the 50s?
No.
After that, huh?
After that. Well, I thought you had knocked that out of the
box. No.
I asked that a friend of mine. He got it right away.
Yeah, I think it's one you know right away. Did the guy make it as a big pro player, quarterback kind of guy?
I do not know that. I assume he did. Yeah,
you know, I should know and don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was in the 70s, I'll give you that.
Not Jim Plunkett.
74 and 75.
So is that Jim Plunkett?
No.
Okay. I don't know.
Okay.
Good question. Right. Heisman double winner.
And I have another quickie, another sports one. I'll get out of the way.
Sure.
The lowest scoring NBA game ever was in 1950 between the Fort Wayne Pistons and the Minneapolis Lakers.
The Fort Wayne Pistons? I don't remember. They moved up to Detroit at some point. Yeah.
What was the score?
The score? The final score? Can I give you the total score?
The lowest scoring
game in the NBA history. Well, this is just... all right. It's going to be... I'm going to go with a total of 68 points.
No.
More or less?
Less.
Less than 68? Yeah. Oh, man. Individual players
right after
scored,
this, they instituted the 24-second shot
clock.
Okay,
so this is one where both teams stalled. All right. Were those games where they
it's
just
a long
hold
time
the ball.
To stall.
All right, I'm going
to
go with 18 points.
You're close.
All right.
Wow.
Close. Well, score is 19-17.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that amazing?
36 points.
How could you possibly stall that long?
The
or be that
number
terrible?
Of people who came to the next game? Zero.
Yeah. Okay.
I think there's soccer games that have higher scores than that.
Yeah. All right. And let's take a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello?
Hello, is that me?
Yeah, it's you.
Oh, okay. Bill in San Francisco.
Hi, Bill. Talk to us.
Are you still open for the accents?
Yeah.
Always.
The most beautiful accent is Romanian.
Of course.
It is a lovely accent, but it didn't make the top five. I suspect a lot of people have not heard it.
Okay, the Battle of Lepanto.
Yes.
Spanish fleet commanded by Don Juan defeated the Turks.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm not sure it was a fleet, because I think it was a land battle, was it not?
I believe that it was a fleet battle, but, you know, I could be wrong.
Well, in any case, you got the right idea. It's definitely John of Austria beating the Turks, and that was the last sort of the last gasp of a threat of Ottoman domination of Europe.
Did you say Austria?
Yeah.
Cannae.
Yeah.
Was Hannibal of the Carthaginians defeated the Romans.
Exactly right. Well done.
Okay.
That retires that one.
I got a ding, so.
You've got. Ding. Now you can you hold ding. Your head high.
You all have a lovely night.
Thanks, you too.
Bragging rights at the water cooler.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, guys. It's Alec in San Francisco.
Hi, Alec.
So I nearly made it in with Cannae and Lepanto.
Do it again. Do it again, because I can never hear those often enough.
It's like the top 40.
So I'm reduced to guessing about accents people like Jamaican.
Jamaican. Somebody else guessed that, too. It is a great accent. No, it's not top five.
Okay. How about Scottish?
No, I love Scottish, but no.
All right. So I have no idea what the answer to Jerry's question about the Heisman is. But here's my question for you. Tell me either the name of the player who's actually the model on the Heisman Trophy. Or
oh,
what
yes,
he
I've heard that.
The model on the Heisman. I can picture
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Isn't the school USC?
Nope.
All right.
The first, I know.
How old is the Heisman?
It's in the 30s, right?
30s, okay.
And the guy who won it went to the first guy who went to the University of Chicago, which doesn't even have a football team.
That is correct. Well, yeah. it has a football team again.
Oh, it does.
But, yeah, it was banned in the 50s because it was interfering with people's intellectual endeavors.
Is the guy who it's modeled after, did he ever win the Heisman Trophy?
I believe he was the first winner as well.
Oh, then Jay Berwinger.
Jay Berwinger.
There you go.
Wow.
There he is. I want a double bell.
Good
on
knowledge.
Go UFC Maroons.
Wow. Yes.
All right. Thanks, guys.
University of Chicago, where I grew up. So he was sort of famous.
Who did he play for?
The University of Chicago.
I mean, the pro team.
Didn't make the pros.
He didn't make the pros.
He was a real scholar athlete kind of guy.
So.
Yeah, I don't think he went pro. It was just ironic. They had no team, but they had the first
Heisman.
Jay
Bowinkle?
Jay Berwinger. Bowinkle, yes.
All right. Stop being such a
wise. The Berwinger family's going to call in.
Weisenheimer. Give us a question, Larry.
All right. So this is a question. Yeah, this is an anti-Dana question since he's not here, but it might be an anti Jerry question. So the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame started in 1986, and for all the original inductees for the first 2 years were individuals like Chuck Berry and James Brown and Little Richard. There were only two groups in the first 2 years that got in. There were
Beatles,
actual groups.
Of course, and the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, no. The groups like the Beatles didn't come in, and the Rolling Stones didn't come in until later.
No kidding.
Why, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
I know.
That's hard to believe.
They took the early days of rock. I'll give you the hint. Early days of rock and roll first.
The Platters.
Good guess.
Ooh.
Not the Platters.
How about the Everly Brothers?
That's one of them. Very good.
Okay.
They were the first group in the first year, and then there was another group in the second year.
So what did you say? The Platters?
Yeah.
What about the Drifters?
Not the Drifters. They came in year three.
Is that a group like that?
Yes. They're exactly like that.
But not the Flamingos or the Sands or the Nuggets, because we've been through that. All right.
Also great group.
Also became hotels.
The Nuggets.
Yeah. This group did not become a hotel as far as I know.
All right.
Yeah. But right in there. And it's not, and you would think it would be Buddy Holly, but he made it, but
no,
the Crickets didn't.
The Crickets.
And
no
Haley made
Crickets.
It, but no Comets made it.
It's a kind of a doo-wop group.
Yeah, very good on the Everly Brothers, so we're looking for that.
Yeah.
Not
all
the
right.
Platters, not
well,
the Drifters.
Let's
not
leave
the Platters,
it out
not the Drifters. Very good.
Bill Haley and the Comets.
Now, Bill Haley was in, but they left the Comets out because I think they were a rotating group.
Oh, okay.
And I think the Crickets were a rotating group. Okay. So
the Crickets were not. They were real people, weren't they?
They were real people.
They were Buddy Holly.
I think
one of them stayed forever.
Maybe I'm wrong.
And I think they all got in later.
Oh, that could
I think
be.
They let Buddy Holly in, and then they let the Crickets in.
Why would they split it up like that? It's all one entity.
I think Buddy Holly had a solo career. Yeah,
at some point.
That's true. Yeah.
And all right. When he was killed, the Crickets, I don't think were with him.
No.
Anyway.
So we're looking for
the group that was inducted within the first 2 years of the Hall of Fame.
If you know that, give us a call. Still got a few more time to take a few more calls at 415-841-4134 or toll-free at 866-798-8255. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Denise in San Francisco.
Hi, Denise.
Hello. So I got gazumped on Shakespeare in Love.
Oh. Well, let's give you a bell anyway.
Yeah. Thank you. And so like the, I think, two callers ago, I'm reduced to guessing on accents.
Okay.
did you say the accents were the most popular among Americans?
Or? No. It was a poll of 11,000 people in 24 countries.
So what about Americans?
Americans number two.
Oh. Wow.
Yay. Whoa. Who would have guessed, right?
I'm not going to guess anymore. I want my bell.
You got it.
You don't have an accent.
And then, well, that's right. You know why I guessed that? When I was in Russia years ago, I remember a Russian man saying to me, oh, I like American accents. It's so soft.
Is that what they said?
We can't hear our American
accent
from the outside.
So they considered it soft, huh?
Yeah,
well, compared to theirs, I guess maybe so. Yeah,
soft in the sense of easily dominated.
If it's your native language, you can't. Hear
no, you can't
it
hear.
Like.
So we're looking for one more number four.
I'm gonna stick to.
Okay.
I'm gonna stay while I'm ahead.
Good idea.
Good. All right, Denise. Thanks.
So three of the five for sure are English speaking languages.
Yeah, right.
So this seems kind
a little
of peculiar.
Skewed. Yes,
skewed.
Right.
Yeah. And which American accent are they going with? The Chicago, I hope. not the Boston, not the
Chicago.
New York.
Yeah.
All right, next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello?
Hey, guys, this is Stan in San Fran.
Hi, Stan.
I have a question. Maybe I didn't hear the question right, but why do Capote and Milk not qualify for Oscar-winning film?
Because I was looking for movies that had won the Oscar specifically for Best Picture. Not just any movie that won an Oscar had an Oscar associated with it.
My bad.
Not at all. Not at all. It's an important distinction and worth asking about.
Thanks for the good clarifying question.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Michael from El Cerrito.
Say again.
It's Michael from
Michael.
El Cerrito. Can you hear me?
Absolutely loud and clear. What's on your mind?
Okay, well, while I was waiting, I heard the question about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Is the third group Sam and Dave?
It's not.
Ooh, good
they
guess,
They came
though.
In later. Really good guess. They're in.
Okay. All right, well, the Heisman Trophy winner, and I think he's the only one to win it twice, period, but he won it twice in a row. That was Archie Griffin.
Correct.
Oh.
Correct. Archie Griffin.
There you go.
That'd be 76 and 77 or 75 and 77?
74 and 75.
74 and 75, okay. But that
Very
was
good.
It.
Very good.
Good answer.
Thanks, Michael.
Well, thank you.
Who did he play for? Did he usually have a pro career?
I don't remember.
You don't? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're nearing the end of the show. I'm going to slip a little quick question for in here while we have time. You guys are familiar with the comic strip High and Lois, the family,
yeah.
Flagstaff family, High and Lois.
Walker,
and
Mort Walker.
My Mort Walker. Who's Lois's brother?
In real life or in the comic strip?
I don't recognize that distinction.
He's an ongoing character in the strip?
He has his own comic strip. Is that it?
Oh, Beetle Bailey.
Beetle Bailey is correct. High and Lois started life
a spin-off,
as a spinoff from Beetle Bailey.
Yeah,
Beetle Bailey got leave and came to visit his sister Lois.
We had a question similar to that, so I can't take full credit.
All right. You can remember.
Full disclosure.
All right. Well, I don't have any other short ones sitting around. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello? Are you there, caller?
You seem to have a 7 second delay before the call.
Yeah. All right. How about you?
Hi, it's Paul from the Richmond.
Hi, Paul.
Hi. Martin Van Buren was Andrew Jackson's vice president.
That is absolutely correct.
Nice.
He was the last one.
He's
it has not been
one.
Done since then.
Okay.
Isn't that remarkable?
Until Bush. Oh,
Until Senior Bush. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Now, the fifth mayor of San Francisco, Cornelius K. Garrison, was great-grandfather of a 20th-century general director of the New York Metropolitan Opera. Do you know which one?
Josh will know that.
The great-grandfather?
Yeah, Cornelius Garrison.
Of what?
General director of the New York Metropolitan Opera.
Oh, that's a small group of people, so I'm going to guess Peter Gelb.
No.
Well, I mean, Okay. How
Rudolph
about
Bing?
No, no, come on.
Because
see, Rudolph
know.
Bing is from the old country.
Oh yeah.
And Volpe didn't have a great grandfather named Garrison. So that leaves that guy who I can never remember, who was the finance guy who was in there for about a year or two.
Oh, right.
72 to 74.
Oh, then that's a different guy. Then
Skyler Chapin was he?
Yes.
Well done.
Skyler Chapin. Garrison.
Oh.
Well, I know about him because his son is Ted Chapin, who's the head of the Rodgers and Hammerstein organization.
Oh, that's good.
Out
that's
Metropolitan Opera by Jerry. Yeah. I'm yes. so ashamed. Well done.
You should be, yes.
School.
Could I ask one more?
Yeah.
Made my night.
Okay. In the first decade of this century, three women were featured in news stories about prominent political office holders. Can you match Carolyn Carpinetti, Ruby Rippey Turk, and Mildred Baena to the office holder?
No.
You mean they're connected with somebody who's a political office holder?
Yeah.
They're not political office holders.
Was this a scandal?
Yeah. All three.
Give us the names again.
I guess.
Carolyn Carpinetti.
Carpinetti. Uh-huh.
Ruby Rippey Turk. Oh,
yeah.
And Mildred Baena.
I don't know.
And this was within the last 15 years, right?
Yes.
One was, I think, connected to George Bush first, right?
No.
Oh, no.
No, that is, Ruby Rupicore was Berlusconi's teenage girlfriend,
no.
right?
No.
All right.
Think local.
Think local.
Oh, local. I never think local.
Local Yono. No.
No, none of those names rings a bell. And
Carolyn Carpinetti had a child by Willie Brown.
Oh.
Ruby Rippey Turk had an affair with Gavin Newsom.
Oh, that's, oh, yeah, right.
And Mildred Baena had a child by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Go, California.
Man.
That's right. Yeah.
All right.
We should have come up with all of those. Yeah,
all local.
Thanks very much for your call.
Okay.
All right.
That's good trivia.
Let's take another call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. Hey, on your movie list, I didn't hear anyone name Ali, the movie.
No, because we were looking for movies that had won the Oscar for Best Picture, which Ali did not.
I thought it won Best Picture.
No, ma'am.
Ah, well.
Not saying it shouldn't have, because I never saw it, but it didn't. All right, let's take one more call.
That's the only decent thing he's ever done. Thanks.
Thanks. One last call.
It's a good movie.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, it's Sparky and Maddie.
Sparky and Maddie. Wondered what happened to you guys.
There they are.
All right. Let's cut to the chase. It's the Coasters.
It is. Yakety Yak and Charlie Brown and Poison Ivy. Sparky, I knew you'd know that.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Why is everyone all picking on me? Pull the plug. We'll see you next week.
Thanks. All right. Jerry, what do you got?
The fifth axis, cleaning up, that's the term of art.
Well, the only admired language in the world we didn't get was Australian.
So they're all English speaking except
number
for French.
Number four, all but French.
Yeah, amazing.
I thought you guessed Australian.
No, nobody said Australia. Yeah. And
it's a screwy poll.
Yeah, well, the first Las Vegas hotel built in 1941 was El Rancho Vegas.
Nope. Yeah. Don't know it.
Okay.
All right. Lori?
I just have one. So this I thought was amazing. Every hour, 18,000 hours of video are uploaded up onto YouTube from people just getting their cat flushing the toilet and their kid doing cute things.
God.
18,000 hours every hour, 24 hours a day on YouTube.
Amazing.
You can never watch it all. Not that you'd want to.
No.
Not even 1 second.
That's our show, folks. Thanks. I've got
nothing.
So I'm all cleaned up. So thanks for listening. If we did not get to your call, we apologize. Call back next week when you'll be Dana's problem instead of mine. Thanks so much to Jerry and to Lori. And thanks for Debbie Kennedy and Steve Wolcott for manning the boards. And see you next week. Thanks. Bye-bye.